Hello, this is Mark Steiner. Welcome back. And that is Blue Monk. Where'd he go? I'm just kidding, man. I know you. Blue Monk, Thelonious Monk, and Art Blakey. This is Thelonious Monk's birthday, born in 1917, one of the great geniuses of our cultural world. We'll hear a little bit of John Prine later on the program as well. This is his birthday, born in 1946. So, listen to his sound as well. I want to remind you here, as we jump into this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. For more information, www.mecu.com, or you can jump on to steinershow.org, our webpage. The banner's there. All the information is there from MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. And speaking of people who serve this community, we are going to talk to an organization here this hour, which has been around for 15 years now. It's taken a different, very different form than it had when it first started. It's called Fusion. Fusion is an organization in this community that helps groups fighting for social justice and equal rights and against poverty and against racism in our community, for prisoners' rights, and helps keep them straight in terms of their finances and keeps them rolling and keeps the grants rolling. A very critical function. And two of the people from the organization here today, I do have to have a disclaimer and for total transparency, because that's nothing to do with this at all, because I've known this group for a long time. We have a lot of these groups in our air that they work with because they fight for the same kind of social justice issues that I deeply believe in and we have fought for a long time ourselves. But that one of the principals in this company, Strong Heartstone, is my first wife. We share a daughter and grandchild, and we're dear friends, but that's not why they're on the program. I just want to put that out there right now so we get that all cleared up so nobody calls me, well, why did you do this? And that's why we're doing this. I want you to know because of who they are. Polly Riddams is in the studio, the other managing partner of Fusion Partners, Inc. Good to have you here, Polly. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
And Keith Gavazzi, have that right?
Yeah.
Program coordinator for Fusion Partnerships. Good to have you in the studio.
Thanks.
And you can join us here at 410-319-8888. So, Polly, you probably can explain better than I just did about what Fusion does and the kind of groups that
sure.
you work with.
Yeah, happy to. Thank you so much for having us. And I want to give a big shout out to Strongheart. She elected not to come, and she was certainly invited. And she's just always the anchor and the strong heart for the organization. So Fusion started 15 years ago as an organization dedicated to collaboration and trying to get at how we can really build unity for social change across differences. And out of that grew the fiscal sponsorship program that we do now. So fiscal sponsorship is a growing model in the nonprofit world where we can be sort of a catalyst and a space for emerging projects and programs working for change by providing that sort of umbrella 501c3 so they can get access to grants and tax-deductible donations and support their capacity building so they can really focus on their mission and work. And we also really try to work to network them and provide collaborative opportunities so that we can really try to build a movement for change in Baltimore.
Yeah, I would like to add, just to piggyback on what Polly said, that for Fusion, it's sort of our organizational theory of change that the traditional approach of thrusting change upon a community, going to a community as say a more affluent person of privilege and trying to create programs within their community without community input, things like that, we don't view that as sustainable change. We view the most sustainable change as from coming within a community. So it's mainly our goal to just sort of facilitate the development of those kind of programs from within the community. Essentially, what we want to do is incubate grassroots organizations. I would say that there is a traditional nonprofit industrial complex that has a group of resources, both financial but also in terms of skills, that are not typically accessible to the base disenfranchised communities within that are where our work takes place. And what we want to do is be that bridge. We want to create that the access to those kind of resources, whether it means taking a fledgling project and sort of like walking them through like a logic model, setting up, you know, taking their idea and building upon it, or whether that means just taking a group that already has been doing work for a while and giving them access to different like resources in terms of structure of 501c3 and legal resources, things like that.
So why don't we, if some of the Fusion Partnership programs are listening to us right now, you should call in at 410-319-8888. We talk a bit about the programs that you do. So a lot of them have been on the show a lot in the last few weeks. And it's funny because when we had them on, I had no idea that they were Fusion programs, but many of them, and they mentioned it on the air that they were.
Not good. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, we have right now we're supporting over 60 projects and programs, some very small, some very large. We started out 10 years ago with just one or two. A number of the Open Society Institute fellows often come to us to keep their programs going. So we have a range of things from community gardens to programs like the Youth Empowerment Society, which is a youth homeless drop-in center now. It's fully staffed, has their own space. Power Inside, which is a program that supports women in work, you know, impacted by the criminal justice system. We have advocacy programs that are working for policy change. Just a whole range of programs. So, and we've been able to, through that program also, we've been able to create jobs. We've gone from like 3 people on payroll to over 35. We've got young people getting paid on a regular basis to do their work through programs like New Lens and Youth Unlocked and a variety of projects. So, creating economic opportunities as well, so it's very exciting.
So when you talk about certain programs like the drop-in center and Jackie Robarge's program working with women coming out of prison and women in prison, and they're staffed, part of the reason they're staffed is because of the work you do with them.
Right, yes. They were able to get, because the Fusion is, well, we have a good reputation now among the funding community, so the grants come through us, and then we can provide the payroll services, all those things that they can do, then they can focus on their program.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in and just drive home that, you know, people from a community that start a grassroots organization working for social justice, they don't get involved in that work because they wanted to do payroll or they wanted to, you know, manage the administrative back end of their program. They got involved in that work and they've been successful enough to get to the point of being funded because they have a passion, they know the people, they know the struggle, and we want to free them up to be able to do that work so that they're not sidelined, so they're not sidelined with different administrative back end functions that Fusion can take off of their shoulders. Also, there's an element of that where we can create a lot of savings for that community. It's a type of union in a way, in that we can take those kind of, even in terms of like insurance of all sorts, health insurance, but also program insurance and stuff like that, we can drive those costs down by having a little bit more buying power, given that we have 60 different
so
programs.
So if you have X amount of organizations, 20, 30, whatever the number is, and you help them find grants and they bring it in, they do the actual work in the community of fighting for social change and social justice. But because it's collectivized through Fusion,
right,
you're able to help those people actually get health care insurance and take care of all the other kind of administrative stuff that would be a huge overhead for them otherwise.
Correct.
That's what
and
you're describing.
Not only that, but also we can create that sphere, that place, that community through which they are made aware of all kinds of potential collaborations that they may have never thought about. So I've been thinking a lot of Fusion in terms of movement building and where we sit within Baltimore and what's going on now. I was actually listening to a podcast of a panel that you had moderated at the Radical Book Fair last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about all of these new worker cooperatives and social enterprises and thinking, wow, I've worked with most of the people who are talking here. And
you mean,
I was thinking,
especially the audience members who stood up and had something to say.
There you go. There,
right, right, right,
yeah.
Right, 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 right.
So, but I was thinking of, you know, in terms of a movement and where we sit within that. And I think that Fusion in a lot of ways is a lab. It's a way that people can take innovative ideas and try them out. You don't have to get your whole 501c3 status. We can sponsor you for that. We can see how your idea is going to work.
So a company, so the groups that work with you for racial justice, social justice, economic justice in this community, as you said, movement building, they don't have to be a 501c3. You are the 501c3 for groups trying to make change, do something in the creative arts that touches on these communities. You are that.
Right. And, you know, we have an application process because we have a mission and the groups that we take under us need to be aligned with our mission. But our mission is broad, and that is to be a catalyst for social justice. And so we have sort of carefully defined what we mean by that, which is really access for communities that have been, you know, marginalized or disenfranchised from resources, modeling alternative systems. And, you know, so, you know, that's clearly defined, too. So we kind of look at that when people apply to us as well.
I mean, I was talking about the conference coming up this weekend because this kind of puts it all in perspective as well. And just to say, I think that it's really – Polly, what you and Strongheart have built together out of fusion, I mean, it's really a very, very critical. It's unique in the country, I think, in many ways. It's a model for the nation to kind of look at about how you can build a movement, how you can make things grow and change and bring people who are fighting across racial lines for social justice and economic change in this community can work together and work. That's a pretty powerful model.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I mean, you don't see it. I mean, this is something, it's pretty amazing, actually. And watching you all have struggled over the years to make this work, and how I watched both of you not hardly take any money out of this thing for a long time for your own self just to make it happen, I think this is some really important things to kind of to focus on. So talk a bit about the conference coming up this weekend. In 2 weeks, I should say.
2 weeks, yes. On October 19th, as we decided, because it was our 15th year, we should do something. So we decided to put a conference together and a party. So the conference is from 11 to 5. We're doing it at the MICUS Graduate Studio Building. Our administrative office is in Station North, so we thought we'd be community-based. And we're all the workshops. We have about 11 workshops that are all designed by our programs, some of them collaboratively. We're going to be looking at institutional accountability. We're looking at harm reduction models. We're looking at a variety of things, art and as a catalyst for social justice. So check those out. And then in the evening, we are moving up to 2640 space and having a big party with Ja Works, and we're going to dance and have fun.
Ja Works is a great reggae band. It should be a good night. Yes, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, so because the kind of things you are doing, like there's a group called ACTS,
right?
The Alliance of Community Teachers and Schools.
Right. That's a group that works with educational, you know, schools and trying to, you know, really define what a community teacher is, how well, you know, that you know, teachers and schools are really community-oriented, community-based. They do a variety of projects and connecting universities that have educational programs with schools, which is very exciting. And actually doing a workshop, too, on sort of how do you do shared vision planning. So they're facilitating that workshop.
I mean, I think you've got people who've been on the show before, like Fanon Hill from the Youth Resiliency Network.
Right.
And Jackie Rabarge from Power Inside. They'll be doing a workshop as well. And they both do incredible work in this community.
Right. And actually, they're going to be working. One of the exciting workshops we're doing is we're looking at sort of institutional accountability to grassroots organizations. And Fanon is part of that panel. Jackie is part of that. Rodney Foxworth. Betty Robinson, or people who have worked a lot with large institutions like academic institutions. And, for example, like how is research in academic institutions relating to community groups, and, you know, what's that structure and dynamics, and how can we better empower community groups to deal with those institutions and make those relationships better?
Yeah, I think that not only is that conversation going to be extremely timely and also valuable, but it also gives you an insight into some of the power of fusion, and that was sort of an informal discussion that has been taking place and evolving over months within the Fusion Network, within our networking events and stuff like that. And it's really spun off into this bigger idea that they're going to be discussing at that workshop.
So when you said networking, that's the other piece of this. This is not just your kind of managing programs. It's when you said building a movement earlier, Keith, You're talking about the idea that you have these vast number of programs that cover many different communities here that now have a way to interact that never existed before, because we've either been divided in the city, as most places in America, either by issue or by race or by community. And this is very different in kind of bringing all those places, all those pieces together.
Correct. I think that harkens back to the founding of Fusion, where originally a lot of the work within Fusion was just done around fostering collaboration. And the fiscal sponsorship really grew out of that, because just practically, in terms of when you want multiple programs to collaborate with each other, sometimes that's going to be collaborative grant making, which means that you're going to need a fiscal agent to manage that. And that's sort of where that evolved out of. And it's central even today, now that our work is, the bulk of our work is fiscal sponsorship, that it is part of the spirit of what Fusion really is.
So I mean, what is this? What do you think this takes us? When you think about this conference we're having, I'm part of the conference, I know, and I also, sorry, I have to be out of town that weekend, or I would be at this conference. I really wanted to be part of it, but I can't be there. But to talk about that, one of the things I was really thinking about when I was first asked to come was what the future might be, mm-hmm. in terms of what this says about how you build a movement in this city and in this community, and how do you view that? I mean, how do you what do you think we're on the verge of with this?
Well, it's interesting. I went to the film viewing last night of Shift Change, which is a movie that's really highlights worker cooperatives, and there was a discussion afterwards about that, about how we just seem to be, we really need a mindset change about what capital means, what human social capital means, how we can really retain that wealth and that power within our communities instead of it constantly being extracted. And I'm really hoping for this conference that there will be some energy created around, and, you know, so we sort of going to end it with, like, what is next? And is there some things that we're going to take away? What are we going to do after this? It's not going to just be a one-off thing, and really analyze, like, where we can go from here with all of our partners and other people that come.
Yeah, as I was referring to before, when we take a look at what people are doing in terms of worker cooperatives or different social enterprises within Baltimore, you know, that speaks to a whole other side of what Fusion does. We can do comprehensive fiscal sponsorship for, you know, whole programs, but sometimes that means that we're doing fiscal sponsorship that's just partnering with an existing business, for-profit business, in order to help them fulfill sort of a program idea or mission of social justice that they might have. So I think that that speaks to a lot of the things that are happening within Baltimore with social enterprise, mm-hmm. and innovation in that business setting. And I think that, you know, I've heard the talk within the town sort of dancing around this idea of institutions and how we utilize them, and how, you know, whether they're bad, whether they're good, what kind of – whether they should be anchors or catalysts. And I think that basically what you're seeing is, like with the discussion at the Radical Book Fair, you have people who are – whether it's out of, you know, desperation or pain that they're feeling economically, they're getting more creative. And so we're looking at institutions as ways that we can leverage community power. And I think that, you know, I see Fusion as having a central role within that, in that we can foster those kind of collaborations and make them possible within the existing legal framework. But I think that that is, like, building upon that is kind of something that I see growing within the city, and I would love to see us head in that direction.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the workshops you're having, and thinking about the kind of synergy there's been with programs you've had, workshops, mm-hmm. that you're about to have. You have this one of the programs coming up is with the Right to Housing with Jessica Lewis, mm-hmm. who's been with us at Housing Alliance, Pablo and Nether, and the Wall Hunters, coming about where arts and culture can come together to kind of make a fight for social justice, mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. cross-fertilization.
Definitely. That's something that I actually took upon convening, because
that this particular panel?
Correct, mm-hmm. yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm a huge fan of the work that Jessica's doing with Right to Housing Alliance. I think it's
over on Park Heights and other places,
yeah,
right?
It's really important. It's really great example of practical community organizing and what that can do for a community. And on the other hand, we had the Wall Hunters, who are creating these sort of more bombastic art pieces And so the discussion is kind of like, where does – what is the responsibility of the artist? What is the collaboration? Does the artist even, you know, need – have any responsibility beyond their art? I mean, that's what they're good at. And then, like, where does the community organizer pick it up? Where does the community organizer take what they're good at and bring that to the table and really capitalize on that sort of awareness that the art brings to the issue?
So tell me how you need to tell folks how to get in touch. I mean, we want anybody to come to this. I mean, anybody who wants to come to this workshop and the party.
Right, right. It's very affordable.
We can't do prices on public radio, but you can just say it's affordable. That's fine.
It's very affordable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a one-price ticket if you do both, so which is even better. You get a discount. And you check our website, which is www.fusiongroup.org. And there's a link to the anniversary celebration with all the information about registering. And you can call the office, 410-889-4700.
And that takes place
the Saturday, October 19th, starting at 11 o'clock at the conference, 7 o'clock party. I want to forget that. In case you can't come to the conference, you can at least party.
You want to come to the conference. There's a lot going on at this conference.
Yeah, we're very excited.
And there's a lot of things to take part in. I think that the kind of networking, those of you who do believe in this kind of social change, we all do, that this is a place to come, the Fusion Partnership. So. Yeah. Thank you all for being here. This has been great.
Thank you.
We've here from Polly Riddams, who is a managing partner at Fusion Partners, Inc., and Keith Gavazzi, who is a program coordinator at Fusion Partners. It's good to have you both here.
Thanks.
It's going to be a good weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
And we'll link to all this stuff on our website at steinershow.org. And on the way out of here, I have to remind you of a couple of things before we go, is that starting the 12th, which is less than a couple of days from now, the WEA Fund Drive begins, the Fall Membership Drive, October 12th through the 20th, and we need your participation in our pledge room to help out, to take pledges and be with us and hang out and have a good time and be part of all this, whether it's on this program or anybody else's program here on WEAA. And to volunteer, you can call 443-885-2075. That's 443-885-2075. Or go to weaa.org and go online and sign up. And while you're there, become a member. WEA is a secure website. We need your support to make this public radio station grow and keep going. There are thousands and thousands of you listening to this radio show right now and this radio station all day long, and you're not members, but you could be at weaa.org. So make that call now and volunteer, 443-885-2075. We are going to go out with little John Prine, Angel from Montgomery, our last song of the day. He is also his birthday. Happy birthday to John. He's still with us, born in 1946. We'll go out with a really good piece of music here as well. Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is a production at Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Henry, and on the job right now, Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. To hear his show again, podcast any of our past shows. But find out information about our guests, what they're talking about, how to contact them. Please visit our website at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, Michelle Martin, Tubby Moore coming up, and I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Talk to you all tomorrow. Thunder were desire. This old house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, just a free rambling man. But that was a long time, and no matter how I try, the years just flow by like a broken down dam. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old. Thank you.
give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. There's flies in the kitchen, I can hear them there buzzing, and I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning and come home?